So when Krishna was about 7 years old, one day he saw that all the gopas, all the cowherd people of Vrindavan, headed by his father, Nanda Maharaj, was organizing some festival. So although Krishna saw that they were organizing this festival the previous years also, but still, out of curiosity, he asked his father, "Father, what is this going on today?" But Nanda Maharaj was so busy that he did not answer. Then Krishna told him, "My father, I am your son and you are my father, so it is your responsibility to educate me properly. So I am asking you, what is the worship that you are organizing now? Who is the personality that is being worshipped, and what is the purpose of this worship?" So then also Nanda Maharaj did not reply. He thought that Krishna was just a little child and his question shouldn't be taken so seriously. So he got busy with his other responsibilities. But Krishna still clung on to his father and he asked him, "My father, why don't you tell me whether this worship that you are organizing, whether it is prescribed according to the Vedic instructions, according to the Vedic scriptures, or is just a social custom? And if it is a bona fide worship," Hare Krishna, thank you. "If it is Vedic, then please tell me who is the presiding deity of this sacrifice? What is the proof of that sacrifice? And what is the benefit of performing this sacrifice? And first of all, you have to tell me whether this is Vedic or it's the customary, it's a social custom." So Nanda Maharaj then took Krishna seriously. So Nanda Maharaj told Krishna that this is actually a social custom. It's a customary sacrifice. But since our ancestors have been performing this sacrifice this question came afterwards. Nanda Maharaj actually told Krishna that we are organizing Indra Puja or Indra Jagya, sacrifice to please Indra. Then Krishna asked whether it was Vedic or it's social. So Nanda Maharaj said it's social. Then Krishna said, "Then social activities should not be taken so seriously. Unless and until something has been prescribed by the Vedas, it should not be taken so seriously." So Nanda Maharaj said, "But you see, our ancestors have been performing the sacrifice according to as a custom and as a hereditary custom. Therefore, for us, it is important to perform this sacrifice." Then Krishna denied that. He said, "But tell me why you want to please Indra. What is the objective of this sacrifice?" Then Nanda Maharaj said, "Because Indra gives us rain and we are cowherd people and we depend very much on the rain, therefore we have to perform this sacrifice." So then Krishna reasoned with his father and said, "You see, Indra is just a demigod, and the demigods are also bound by karma, and whatever results, whatever rewards they offer to others is also according to their karma. Demigods do not have any means or ability to do something on their own. They are also dependent. They can't break the karmic principle and do something." Then Nanda Maharaj still insisted. He said, "You see, Krishna, we are cowherd people and the rain is very essential for us, and if we don't have rain, then we'll be in trouble." Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Then Nanda Maharaj told, then Krishna told Nanda Maharaj, "My father, you don't actually depend upon Krishna for rain, because it's not depend upon Indra for rain, because Indra offers the rain just out of nature's arrangement. It's not that Indra is arranging. The rains are a natural phenomenon, and it is not because you are pleasing Indra, that's why Indra is offering you rain." He said, if that was the case, then why does it rain in the middle of the ocean where there is no rain and no one actually offers any worship to Indra? So Nanda Maharaj was surprised that this little child has such understanding and is so intelligent. So Nanda Maharaj started to think that what the boy was saying, whether it really makes sense. And he felt that it makes sense. And Krishna also continued. He said, "My father, I would suggest that since we are cowherd folks, we depend really upon the mercy of Govardhana, because it is the grazing ground, the pasturing grounds of Govardhana that provides the soft green grass for our cows. It is the fountains and rivers in the Govardhana that actually offers us all the water that we need and the cows need. And plus, Govardhan is giving us so many necessities. And so, instead of worshipping Indra, let us worship Govardhan." So when Krishna suggested in this way, Nanda Maharaj, mainly out of his affection, accepted. Not only Nanda Maharaj, others also. Sunanda and Upananda and other senior members of the cowherd folks of Vrindavan accepted that point. And here it has been described that they accepted more than the reason, they accepted it out of their love for Krishna. He said, when one loves somebody, then whatever that person says, one accepts. It is because of love, and in this way, love is superior to reason. And although Krishna gave the reason, but the reason was not playing the most important part. It was their love for Krishna that made them accept Krishna's reasoning. So, Krishna said, let us all arrange all this paraphernalia, all the foodstuff that we got, let us arrange a worship of Govardhan with that. And so Krishna suggested that let us make a mountain of foodstuff. And so the cowherd folks, they brought cart loads of food and they stacked them up in a mountain. And it actually became a huge mountain. And the bottom part of the mountain was Malpur's. Then there was a stack of puris. Then there were stacks of haluas. And then around the puris they stacked up a huge amount of different sabjis and sweets and all kinds, and they all were cooked in different colors. So it was looking like a colorful high mountain. And not only that, this was a mountain, there was the in this mountain there were fountains of ghee and there were rivers of milk. So then Krishna said, let us all offer this to Govardhana, the king of the mountain, Giriraj. So at that time Giriraj took up a huge shape. Giriraj came out of the mountain and he sat there. He was so high, he was practically touching the sky. And he started to eat with his hand, with his right hand. He was picking up a large amount of foodstuff and putting it in his mouth. And Krishna says, see, see, he came and he is eating. And everyone saw that this gigantic figure, but this figure looked just like Krishna. The only difference was, their Krishna was small and this personality was very big. And he kept on eating, and then he started to draw water from the lakes, from the rivers, and from the fountains, as he was eating. And actually, all the lakes around Govardhan became dry because of his drinking from them. But the surprising thing about this mountain of food, that as he was eating, he would take a large quantity of food, like weighing a few hundred kilos of food. But immediately, that place, that food will be filled up. So the Govardhan mountain, Annakut mountain, the mountain of food, retained its original shape. And Giriraj ate for a long time, and also while he was eating, he was making gestures with his left hand, as if he was mocking at Krishna. So in this way, Giriraj became very pleased, and all the cowherd folks became very pleased that this personality, Giriraj, was satisfied through their offering. And at that time, the singers, the bandis, actually in the Vedic society, there were a group of people. They were known as bandis or charanas. The bandis, they were the singers who used to glorify. And the singers sang, among all the rich people, King Nanda is the richest and most generous. In the festival, everyone became satisfied. In this festival, everyone became satisfied and became filled up to their neck. The demigods became pleased, but surprisingly, their king Indra remained sour. So when this word reached Krishna, Indra became very upset. He realized that he has been insulted by this cowherd people. So Indra became very, very angry. He said, this cowherd boy, Krishna, he dares to insult me in this way. He doesn't know who I am. He is just a mere cowherd boy and he dares to insult me in this way, so I will teach him. And what are these people, these cowherd people? They just listen to this little child, a 7-year-old child. Don't they have any intelligence? And just being told by this little boy, they stop my worship and worship this mountain, so I will teach them a lesson. So Indra immediately called the cloud Sambartaka. The Sambartaka is a cloud, that's the cloud of devastation. At the time of annihilation, this cloud starts to pour rain. And as a result of that, the whole universe, at least the lower part up to heavenly planets, becomes inundated with the water of devastation. So Indra called Sambartaka cloud and the terrible winds and told them, go and destroy Braja. So they immediately went out, and the residents of Vrindavan all of a sudden saw there was a cold, cold wind blowing from the north. And all of a sudden, the horizon became covered with dark clouds. And there was a continuous lightning and thunderclaps. So they all became very afraid. So they immediately tried to put all their cows in the shed, and the rain came in torrents as if the whole place was going to be devastated. So they all ran up to Krishna, said, Krishna, Krishna, save us, what's going to happen now? Then some tried to go to the Govardhan, some high place in the Govardhan, but Krishna told them, don't worry, don't be afraid, I'm here. And Govardhan is here, so there is nothing to worry about. So when Krishna saw that Indra was trying to act funny, actually Krishna was deliberately acting like that in order to destroy, in order to smash Indra's pride. Krishna knew that Indra was very proud because he was the king of the demigods. So Krishna wanted to smash Indra's pride. Another understanding is, actually Krishna wanted to let everyone see who he was. Some people think that demigods are very big people, very big personalities. So Indra wanted to teach them, Krishna wanted to teach them that he is even greater than the demigod. He is greater than the topmost demigod. Similarly, by bewildering Brahma, Krishna established the fact that he was even greater than Brahma. So in this way, Krishna established himself as the supreme personality of God. So Krishna could see that Indra was proud, and Indra needed to be brought back to his senses. So Krishna very easily lifted Govardhan on top of his little finger, and so everyone became very surprised. And Krishna smiled and told his father, "Father, did you see Govardhan become so pleased with us that he on his own went up to give us protection, and he is just resting on my hand just like a bunch of cotton wool." So Nanda Maharaj and others got very worried. They didn't, and Krishna said, come under this mountain. But they were still worried. Then Krishna told them that, look, if I see that you are suffering, then I will feel very much pain. I'll feel tormented. And as a result of that, my hand may shake and the mountain may fall off. So better you come down quickly. So they all came in the cave or the hole that was created by lifting of Govardhan. So when they came to the cave of Govardhan hole that was created by Govardhan, they found that there was a beautiful staircase leading down. So they immediately, along with the cows, went down the Govardhan. And Krishna was standing there with Govardhan on his left hand. And some cowherd people felt that Krishna may not be able to hold it for very long. So they also went to help Krishna. And with their stick, they were trying to prop the Govardhan. So in this way, some of the elderly gopas, elderly cowherd people, also tried to help Krishna out in lifting his Govardhan. And now when they went down the cave, they found that the place was illuminated with many, many precious jewels that were studded around the wall. The whole wall, all the walls were studded with beautiful shining gems. And so was the roof. And the floor was very easy, very soft to the touch, as if the whole floor was made of beautiful marble, smooth marble, and studded with gems also. So, and there were, not only that this place was very beautifully decorated, but there were all the amenities also available there. There was water for them to drink, and there was a gentle breeze blowing. So they all became very happy to have the shelter of Govardhan. So in this way they stayed there for 7 days and seven nights. But these 7 days and seven nights passed very quickly. Now in the meantime, Indra started to wonder what happened. So he sent the servants of Pavandev, the servants of wind god, to find out what happened to Govardhan, what happened to Vrindavan, Braja. So very quickly, wind came back and said nothing happened in there. So Indra got very surprised. He thought probably this wind did not see things properly. So he sent the cloud. Said, go and see what's happening. The cloud also came back and said nothing happened. So Indra got very angry. So he just rode on his, got on top of his elephant, Oiravat, and Indra rides on an elephant, and with his goad, he started to punch the elephant so that it would move fast. And then Krishna went there on top of Govardhan, and there he released the thunder and told thunder, the thunder go out, lightning, go out and see what is happening to Govardhan. So lightning also came back immediately and said, I saw a strange sight. And I saw that this Govardhan, after eating the food, became so strong that it went up on the sky. It became so powerful that it went up on the sky. And it's floating on the sky. So Indra said, that's very strange. I knew there was a flying mountain called Mainak. But this Mainak, I cut the wings of Mainak with thunder long time ago, and since Mainak has become static. Otherwise, this Mainak mountain used to fly. And as a result of that, wherever it used to land, all the people in that area used to die. The cities used to get smashed because of landing of that Mainak mountain. So Indra then cut the wings of Mainak with his thunder. So Indra wondered, is it that this Mainak mountain again has grown its wings? Anyway, I will take care of it. So in the meantime, Indra told this thunder, or lightning rather, that you go and find out again what happened. What happened. So lightning came back, and that happened the first time. First time lightning went and said, Indra, everyone is dead. No one is there in Vrindavan. I couldn't see a single soul in Vrindavan. So Indra became very happy. So he says, I bless you, you'll have a long life. And so then he said, now you go and get the details. He said, but then lightning came back and said, I saw a wonderful sight. I saw that the sky, the mountain has gone up in the sky after eating all this foodstuff that has been offered to him. And so then lightning came back again and said, oh, you know what happened? All the residents of Vrindavan have taken shelter of this Govardhan Hill, under the Govardhan Hill, and nothing happened to them due to your devastation that you tried to cause over Vrindavan. So Indra said, okay, so now I'll teach them a lesson. So he released his thunderbolt. But the thunderbolt cracked over Govardhan, but nothing happened to Govardhan. So Indra became very surprised, and he asked, at that time he wondered, is it that this boy Krishna is actually Narayan? Is it that Narayan is playing like a cowherd boy? Now if that is true, then I made a great offense to my Supreme Lord. And so Indra then went there and found that he felt very embarrassed. So in the meantime, the rain stopped and all the cowherd people came out of the hole of the Govardhan, and then they were waiting for Krishna. So when all the cows and calves also came out of the hole along with the cowherd people, then Krishna was the last one to come out. So when Krishna came out, Indra saw that personality who was playing as his as a little cowherd boy, he is none other than his worshipful Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. So then Indra approached Krishna. When everyone was gone, Indra approached Krishna. Indra approached Krishna with Surabhi, because he knew that Krishna is very fond of cows. So taking shelter of Surabhi, Indra approached Krishna, thinking that if I go with Surabhi, then Krishna won't be so angry with me. So this is how, in all respect, we must, in all cases, we must approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his devotee. And Surabhi, when he went to Krishna, she bathed Krishna. There was an abhishek of Krishna. Surabhi was pouring. Surabhi was the cow from the heavenly planet, and she can produce unlimited amount of milk, and she bathed Krishna with her milk. Then Indra offered his prayers to Krishna, and in this way Krishna's Govardhan Lila was performed. So today I'll leave considerable time for questions and answers. Yes. Krishna lifted the mountain in such a way that there was a big wall around the cave, so the water couldn't come in. Yes, that's right, Prabhu. He just he dropped it very softly. He was under it, and he came out on from the side and then slid it out of his hand.
Why is it that, whenever there's some kind of problem, they always rush to Krishna for help and not any other?
It's a very good question. If Nanda Maharaj, Mother Jasoda and other residents of Vrindavan did not know that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then why did they always run to Krishna whenever they were in trouble? You see, their not knowing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the opposite to ignorance about Krishna as the Supreme Personality. Like in one, you know, like in the material nature, we are in ignorance about Krishna's position. But they are not in ignorance. They are in some kind of super awareness. You see, in Vaikuntha, they have the awareness of Krishna as God, Narayan as God. But in Vrindavan, they have some kind of super awareness due to which they don't consider, or they kind of forget, that Krishna is God. And it has been explained that it is not that they did not know that Krishna was God, but it is due to their love for Krishna, they did not consider that Krishna is God. Like whether Krishna is God or not was irrelevant. Krishna was just Krishna to them. And out of their intense attachment to Krishna, they would always run to Krishna. Because one of the aspects of surrender is the faith, Abhushra Rokhive Krishna, Vishwas Palan. The faith that Krishna will give me protection all the time. So their feeling was, whether Krishna was God or not, naturally they used to feel like running to Krishna whenever they were in distress. Like for example, these cowherd boys, each of these cowherd boys are actually hundreds of times more powerful than any of the demons. Avrasur, Bakasur. They were millions of times more powerful. But whenever the demons came, they did not try to defend themselves and kill the demons or do something about it. They simply ran up to Krishna asking for shelter and protection. So that is the mood of a devotee. No matter how powerful he is, he doesn't depend upon his own power. He simply depends upon Krishna.
There's more out of like, because of the intense love.
Yeah, it's more out of the intense love for Krishna that they were running after Krishna. Yes? You see, demigods are generally puffed up. Because, you see, they are the demigods. Who are these demigods? They are actually kind of karmis.
Yeah.
Karmis. Yeah. Yes. That's why they are karma mishra bhaktas. They are devotees mixed with karma. They do pious activities, and as a result of that, they want to enjoy. You see, that's the difference between pure devotion and mixed devotion. In mixed devotion, there is some other consideration besides pleasure to Krishna, giving pleasure to Krishna. Whereas in pure devotion, the only consideration is pleasure to Krishna. Now the demigods, they have some other motivation, some ulterior motive in their being devotees of Krishna. Like they pray to Krishna for their sense gratification. So, and you know, like as I was saying, like a karmi, like a pious karmi. In India, there are plenty of pious karmis. They have temples at home. They have, but what they want, they worship Krishna, but they want wealth. Like, and these kind of people are naturally very proud because they are materially attached. They are proud of their material possession. Similarly, Indra was proud of his position, that he was Indra, and he could not, out of his pride, he became blind, and he couldn't recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he was there. So this is one thing. Another thing, another important consideration is that Krishna's pastimes are just like a play on a stage, just like a drama enacted on a stage. Now, some drama is enacted on the stage to convey some message, right? To teach something. Now, the drama is acted by different individuals. Different individuals are playing different roles. But they are playing the roles. They are not actually those persons as such. They themselves are not like that. Like, somebody is a villain, playing the role of a villain. But that person in real life may be a saint, right? Similarly, Krishna acts and his associates come and participate in those plays and act different roles. Now Indra was playing a role in order to enhance Krishna's pastime. Now the third consideration is that Krishna wanted to establish himself as the supreme. Right? Now some people may think that Indra is the greatest. But through this pastime, Krishna taught them that Indra is not the greatest. He is greater than Indra. So in this way, Krishna is actually establishing the fact or is teaching everyone sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam saranam, that you don't have to surrender unto anyone else. Just surrender unto me. So in this way, Krishna establishes pure devotion through his pastime. How was it so easy for Krishna? Actually, for Krishna, everything is easy. And actually, it was not so easy. Like, remember, the Nanda Maharaj wouldn't even listen to Krishna at first. Right? And he was thinking that this is just a little boy, you know, he's asking, you know, like a father often thinks that the child is asking so many useless questions. And you know, he similarly, Nanda Maharaj first tried to avoid Krishna's answering Krishna's question. He tried to avoid answering Krishna's question, but then Krishna kept on insisting. And then finally, Nanda Maharaj, it dawned in him that this boy is talking a lot of sense, right? But then when he reaches Vrindavan, then Krishna takes him by his hand. Not only by his hand, Krishna actually embraces him. Krishna comes running to receive him. I mean, who is the presiding deity? And when he asked whether it's Vedic or whether it's social, and Nanda Maharaj admitted that it was social. And then Krishna said, there is no need for performing something social. And then later on, Krishna actually made another very nice point. He said, of all the proofs, the direct proof is the best. Pratyaksha. Praman, you see, there are different types of praman, proof. So he said the direct proof is the best proof. Now, you want to offer this to Indra, but we cannot see Indra. We can't see the demigod. So why offer something to someone you cannot see? But Govardhan is real, is right in front of us, and we can see the kind of benefit that we are deriving from Govardhan. So this way, Nanda Maharaj was convinced by Krishna. Yeah. Which case? In Govardhan? You see, Govardhan shrank considerably. The way Govardhan was before. No, the fountains were not from Govardhan. They were made of, the fountains and rivers here. They used to be before, in Krishna's times, but ever since Krishna left, Govardhan started to shrink. And Govardhan, even now, Govardhan is becoming smaller and smaller. Oh no, then the Govardhan was placed on top of that again. Yeah, I mean, Krishna lifted Govardhan, so a hole was created. And when Krishna put the Govardhan back, then the hole was covered. He kept it on. Well, you see, we have to understand that these are all spiritual. So when Krishna lifts Govardhan, the place that is created by Krishna's internal potency, that place becomes fully decorated, or became fully decorated. Yes? Well, I mean, if they can artificially make some fountains now, like here in Mayapur we have a fountain of water, right? So we have to understand that the cowherd folks of Vrindavan 5,000 years ago were much more capable than us, and they could actually make a fountain out of ghee and river of milk by that kind of arrangement. No, this is not Jnana Mishra. Because this, you see, Jnana, when you talk about Jnana, that Jnana is an impersonal knowledge. But the knowledge about the spiritual sky is not considered to be Jnana Mishra. That is, you know, revelation. They are not Jnanas. They are not retained by brain. But it was revealed in the hearts of pure devotees. And these descriptions are by Jiva Goswami. So he saw the spiritual sky, and what he saw, he wrote. So this is not Jnana Mishra Bhakti. This is Sutra Bhakti. Yeah, if you have more information or more details about the spiritual sky, that is always better for pure devotion. You see, when Jnana Mishra Bhakti means the knowledge mixed, the devotion mixed with knowledge. that, and this knowledge is more of an impersonal knowledge. Right? If there is more knowledge about Vrindavan or spiritual sky, then that is not Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Like Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and all the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they are not promoting Jnana Mishra Bhakti. They were actually enhancing pure devotion through their writing. So that knowledge that they were giving is pure transcendental knowledge, not impersonal knowledge. Govardhan is feeling the separation from Krishna. And Krishna told, actually when Krishna was about to leave, Govardhan told him, how am I going to stay without you? Then Krishna told him, you stay for some time and then you'll come back to me. Yeah. Oh, actually, okay.
Like what
detail is disturbing? Yeah, that's why when you approach the spiritual subject, you know, you have to accept that it is not, you can't reason with it. That's why it says that whenever you are approaching, especially in a literature like Bhagavatam, you have to leave your intellect behind. There's no room for intellect in the realm of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma prajjita koitava, all these so-called dharmas or reasoning, analysis, give them up. And the way to approach the realm of Bhagavad is through faith. Now if you don't have faith, bad luck. And the person that you're listening to, if you don't have faith, then better don't listen to them. Because you have to understand, like, you know, like the person when you are sitting down and listening to him, you have to give him some credibility that, you know, like he is, especially in a class like this. And what, I mean, if we consider that Krishna's potency is inconceivable, spiritual sky is inconceivable, like then what is the problem in accepting, you know, there can be a fountain of tea? That's why the question, often we ask a question, do you believe that Krishna is blue? Right? Now, with your reason, can you analyze it? Have you seen a blue person? Then why do you accept Krishna is blue? Yeah. You see, Krishna can take the service directly. But those service, I mean, in order to render that kind of direct service, you have to be very, very close to Krishna. Right? Yes, Shubhal, Sridham, Boshudham, Soko Krishna, Lalita, Vishakha, Rupa Manjari, Ananga Manjari, they can render direct service to Krishna. But even then, they don't. Even then, they don't actually. Oftentimes, these gopis render their service to Krishna through Srimati Radharani. Even the most intimate gopis render service through Srimati Radharani. And the friends render service through Balarama. At least that submission is there. And then, sometimes they have some direct exchange. Like, but that is a very, very intimate dealing. Like, I mean, consider what they do. They steal from Krishna, they steal food from Krishna's plate. They climb on Krishna's back, right? Now, will anyone dare to do that when Krishna's bhoga is being offered in the temple room, will anyone dare to take it, take from the plate? Will anyone ever dare to put his foot on the deity? Huh? So you can well imagine how intimate those individuals are to render that kind of that exchange with Krishna. But we are not. We are far, 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 far away. Therefore, we have to find a means through which we can actually reach Krishna or render our service to Krishna. And that link is the spiritual master. And then the spiritual master also is linked to his spiritual master. So in this way, there is an unbroken chain that goes all the way to Krishna, and that's how the service is rendered. And now, who is the spiritual master? The spiritual master is dear to Krishna. Right? Although the spiritual master himself doesn't think that he is dear to Krishna. He thinks that his spiritual master is dear to Krishna, but he is just an insignificant soul. But to the disciple, the spiritual master is very dear to Krishna. And to the disciple, the spiritual master acts as Krishna's representative. It's a kind of an idea or concept. It is a reality. It is a fact. Krishna actually acts through the spiritual master. Krishna accepts the spiritual master to be the via medium for the disciple. Right? And due to that, whatever is offered to Krishna through the spiritual master reaches Krishna. And then someday, a devotee may reach Krishna. Like for example, in this respect, Brihad Bhagavatamrita is actually a very beautiful guideline. Like, Gop Kumar went back to Vrindavan. Now, his spiritual master So this is how Krishna actually reciprocates with a devotee when he becomes 100% pure. Yes? Yeah, well, the snakes are there. There are plenty, a lot of snakes, not only in Govardhan Hill, but there are a lot of snakes in Vrindavan. Yeah, but the snakes don't do anything to the devotee. In Mayapur, you know how many snakes are there in Mayapur? One from Prabhupada Samadhi, they caught 18 cobras. One snake charmer came, and he caught 18 cobras. And there, once there was a big flood in 78, and one boy killed 151 cobras in this area. There's cobras everywhere, and but not a single, devotee has died so far by any snake bite here. Some devotees have been bitten, but they didn't die. Because the next door there is a snake doctor. He pulls out the snake, pulls out the poison. Yes. How Krishna taught? You see, in the beginning, we don't just straight away tell them give up demigod worship. Then instead of getting rid of the demigods, they'll get rid of you. And you don't have any scope to preach to them. Therefore, first we try to win them over, win their confidence, win their faith. We preach to them, we give them Krishna Prasad, we try to deal with them very nicely, very friendly way. And then we ask them to chant Hare Krishna. And so this way, by chanting Hare Krishna, when they get purified, then their faith becomes strong. Then you tell them that stop worshipping these things. Okay, so I'll take him first, yeah, and then Vinay. Whether Indra got a chance to come in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, I don't know. But it is understood that everyone got a chance in Mahaprabhu's pastime. Mahaprabhu is so magnanimous that he, in a way he did, in a way, yes, in a way Indra participated in Mahaprabhu's pastime. Because you see, in Krishna's pastimes, Indra came as Arjuna, right? And in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Arjun came as Ramananda Rai. So in that way, Indra came in Mahaprabhu's pastimes as Ramananda Rai. I'll take these few questions first and then I'll give you. Day and night? Day and night calculated? Or whether according to a human calculation or... Yeah, we have to understand that Krishna's pastimes took place on the earth planet and the calculation was according to human pastimes. I mean human calculation, that is solar year calculation. But there was actually, let me see, I think if I'm not mistaken, it's in Brahma Vaivarta Puran that it's mentioned that Nanda Maharaj, he actually extended the year. He started a new calculation of year with 18 months a year. Instead of 12 months, the calculation was 18 months. But of course, that's different. It doesn't really have anything to do with this. But generally, understanding is that it was 7 days, 7 nights, was according to the calculation of the movement of sun. Solar calculation. Yes, Vinod? Can an ordinary layman who are? They are actually, yes, they are different living entities who due to their pious activities get this position. Actually living entities are not ordinary. All the living entities have extraordinary ability. Now when he is forgetful of his position as a as a spirit soul, he does become ordinary. But actually, he is an extraordinary spiritual spark. He is an extraordinary part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And a living entity has the ability to do anything. A living entity can become an associate of Krishna, which is the highest position. So if he can get the highest position like that, then any other position becomes also possible for him to attain. Yes, a living entity can become demigod. A living entity can become Indra. Like, if someone performs 100 horse sacrifices, then he can become Indra. Therefore, another name of Indra is Shatakratu, a person who performs 100 sacrifices, 100 horse sacrifices. Yeah. That? I don't know. Is it? I don't know. No. Yeah, mountains can also fly. As long as they land properly, it's alright.
How is it possible?
Well, Nanda Maharaj made it possible. He started a new calculation. It can be done. Right. Because his consideration was that the human life is so short, only 100 years. And he felt that it's too short. This 100 years was too short. So he extended the 100 years by a new calculation, where 100 years would mean 150 years. And ultimate consideration here is love. Love. It's because of his love for Krishna he considered that. हाँ वही बोल रहा था कुछ समय पहले कि उन लोगों को मालूम है कृष्ण भगवान, बल्कि उनका कृष्ण के प्रति प्यार इतनी ज्यादा था कि वो सोचते नहीं थे कि कृष्ण भगवान है या नहीं. उनके लिए सिर्फ कृष्ण केवल कृष्ण ही था और कुछ नहीं. तो हरे कृष्ण. When someone is rendering devotional service and gradually elevating, can he fall down? One can fall down from any position. Unless and until one reaches the stage of prema, anyone can fall down. When one falls down, when he falls down, he falls down. But then when he starts, then he starts from the point where he left it. Yes. That Sukadeva Goswami, he heard, is a parrot in the spiritual sky.
Favorite
parrot of Srimati Radharani. Yes. That is true. Shukra Goswami is a parrot of Srimati Radharani, and this parrot was very dear to Srimati Radharani, but when Krishna was withdrawing his pastime, then here this parrot always used to sing the glory of Radha and Krishna. Actually, the parrot always used to sing the glory of Radha. But one day, the parrot flew away. And the parrot was sitting, flew into a tree where Krishna was playing with his friend. So they all said, look, what a beautiful parrot. So Krishna called the parrot, and parrot came and sat on Krishna's shoulder. And now the parrot started to chant, Krishna, Krishna. So, and when the parrot flew away, Radharani became very sad. So Lalita and Vishakha went looking for the parrot, and then they came and found that the parrot was sitting on Krishna's shoulder. So Lalita told Krishna, Krishna, this parrot actually belongs to Radhika. So you give back. Then Krishna says, how do I know that this parrot is Radhika's? Now if it is Radhika's, then why it is not with Radhika? I didn't ask him to come, it came on its own to me. And now that he's with me, he's mine. So then, and in the meantime, the parrot started also to chant, Krishna, Krishna. So Krishna is a thief. Like he's even calling my name. So then finally, due to the pleading of Lalita and Vishakha, Krishna gave the parrot back. Now this parrot, when Krishna was leaving this planet, this parrot was asked by Krishna to stay back. Krishna asked two persons to stay back after his pastime. One was Uddhava and the other is this parrot. So then this parrot was very sad after Krishna withdrew his pastime. So one day the parrot was just roaming around, you know, aimlessly after Krishna withdrew his pastime. And then the parrot actually flew into Kailash, Mount Kailash. And there the parrot was sitting on a tree, and under the tree Lord Shiva was speaking to Parvati. So Lord Shiva was telling Parvati about Krishna's pastime. So, and parrot also was listening. So in the meantime, Parvati fell asleep. So the parrot was so excited hearing Krishna's pastime, he didn't want Shiva to stop. So he didn't want Shiva to know that Parvati was asleep. So from time to time, he started making a sound. Yeah, yeah. So then Parvati woke up and told Shiva, my lord, please tell me what you've been telling, because I fell asleep and I could not hear. Then Shiva said, no, you didn't fall asleep, you are just responding, you are saying yes, yes. Then he said, no, I actually fell asleep and I don't know for how long I was asleep. Then Lord Shiva felt that someone must have acted funny with him. And he looked up and he saw the parrot on top of the tree. So he got very angry. And when the parrot saw that Shiva was angry, so he just ran for his life. He flew away. And Shiva chased the parrot. Now, for the fear of his life, the parrot flew away. And from Kailash mountain, it flew straight to Badrikashram mountain. Badrinath mountain. And at that time, Vasudev was telling his wife about Krishna's pastime. And she was so surprised by hearing Krishna's pastime that her mouth was gaping. Right. her mouth was open. And the parrot flew straight into her mouth and took shelter of her womb. And that is Sukadeva Goswami. That we have to understand, Krishna came from the spiritual world. Yes. Actually, it is difficult to make out who is higher or who is lower in that among those devotees. But this higher and lower is considered in a way because Sukadeva Goswami's mellow was more of neutrality, shanti, whereas Uddhava's relationship was friendship. So which mellow is higher? So from that calculation. Yeah, that's true. That's true. In Vrindavan, then again, everyone is, that's why I said the prominence was neutrality. But the underlying mellow of everyone in Vrindavan is Madhurya. They are all supporting the Madhurya.
I don't know if
Shri Krishna
is better than Vrindavan. They have the whole Bhagavad Gita, the effect it would have on him.
Predominating mellow was because the activity of exchange was not there so much, but the underlying mellow was, the appreciation from Madhurya was there. Right. Yeah, because in Vrindavan actually everyone is, then the Madhurya is the predominating mellow and everything is actually supporting that Madhurya. Yes. See, we have to, there are two ways of looking at it. If we look at him as an associate of Krishna, then there is no question of, there is no question of neutrality or rather impersonalism in him. Because how can an associate of the Lord be impersonal? But if we look at it from another perspective, then we can see that for the time being, he may not be displaying his direct attachment to Krishna in that sense. So it may appear to be like an impersonalist, but he was not an impersonalist. This also, I think, mostly it's in Brahma Vaivarta Brahma Sura. Brahma Vaivarta are It may have been quoted there, but no, I may have been quoted there, but I don't think it's in the Vaivarta. It's from one of the Puranas. Most probably it's from Brahma Vaivarta. Vishnu Puran? Oh. I don't know. Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. So there are some cookies.